Hey, y'all. I am back with round two of your own stories. Just like in volume one, there's a nice array of different experiences here, so I hope you love them as much as I do. Just like last time, any foul language is intact. I'm Candace, and I'll be your guide. Our first story is from Mel. I've been listening to your podcast for these last couple days, and I really, really love your content. Your personal astral projection story reminded me of my own, which I'd sort of shoved to the back of my mind for a while, so I wanted to share it with you. I live in Germany, but this happened as I was in college in the United States. As someone coming from Europe, I have to admit that I had way more paranormal experiences while living in the U.S. There is something so hauntingly beautiful about that country, and especially about the Midwest where I was living. Now, listeners, side note, the story writer gave some context for this that will be redacted for their privacy as requested, but gave me permission to explain that historically, their town had quite an unpleasant history with the exile of the Native Americans. This gave certain parts of this town an especially eerie vibe. The house I was living in was located next to what I can only describe as a really narrow, long, and deep drop, which also caused some odd activity at night. Anyway, let's get into the story. I was always interested in the paranormal. I had friends who read tarot frequently, dabbled in crystals, stuff like that. During the 2020 lockdown, I started looking more into spiritual connections and especially dreams. One day, I discovered the topic of astral projection, and I was immediately hooked and became deeply invested. So much so that I decided I would use my daily quarantine naps as an opportunity to connect with the astral realm. So I read up on different practices and other people's experiences. Day after day, I would lay down on my bed and practiced finding that connection. Sometimes I would fall asleep, but sometimes I would get to a state of sleep paralysis where I was able to see my room with my eyes closed. It reminded me of when I was in high school, when I would come home from school and often take a nap on the couch, which mostly resulted in some form of sleep paralysis, which also now in retrospect leads me to believe that the place I lived in at that time was pretty haunted. Anyway, at that point in 2020, however, I knew how to control this state and understood that I was so close to astral projecting. One day, after laying down for another nap, I woke up to my room looking slightly different. It felt like my room. It looked like my room. But something was just off. I tried to get up, but ended up rolling over to the side of my bed and just falling to the ground. And that's when I realized I had separated from my physical body and was staring directly at it in its fully relaxed sleeping state. I did it. I was in the astral realm. I was so excited. I remember that feeling of accomplishment and happiness. I couldn't wait to explore my house, my surroundings, and to connect with my spirit. All that time of focus and mindfulness had finally paid off. I was just about ready to get going when I turned around to take another look at my room. And that's when I saw it. In the reflection of my large 5-foot mirror, I saw a tall, black apparition standing right behind me, towering over me, and I felt it stare right into my soul. In that moment, I could have sworn it was the devil himself. I was immediately captivated by a type of fear I had never felt before and tried to jump back into my physical body, but I was struggling. The next thing I remember is laying in a state of paralysis for a while before falling asleep for what I'm guessing was about an hour and then fully waking up. A skeptic would probably say that it was just a dream, but what I felt and saw just all felt a bit too real for it to be a figment of my imagination. I take this experience as a lesson in if you fuck around, you find out, and I haven't fucked around with astral projection since then. This next story is from Michelle, who recently reached out to me looking for advice on researching her home's history. Our conversation from there evolved into how to potentially remove spirits from her home. This is her story. My aunt and I bought our home located in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia in November of 2011. It is an old house and was in foreclosure. It is two floors with hardwood throughout. Upstairs is very old because it's all waving and creaky. The front door is in the center of the wide front porch and opens onto the staircase up to the second level. So essentially, the house is divided into four parts. Downstairs to the left is the living room and downstairs bathroom. The right side is an L-shaped dining room into the kitchen, and the hollow of the L is the pantry. Up the stairs to the right is a bedroom and a spare/storage area. To the left is my aunt's room, the guest room, and the bath and laundry occupying the space above the downstairs entrance. I have still not been able to nail down the build date for the home. The realtor stated 1920, and other online sources state 1931. And during the creepy encounter I had with the previous owner, he stated someone in the neighborhood has a photo dated back to 1895. I have not been able to locate this photo, but honestly wouldn't doubt it exists somewhere. The church across the street was established before the Declaration of Independence was signed. What the neighbors and folks we meet at the country store, which is walking distance, have said about the house is the only history that I have on it. If any of this is true, at one point it was a hotel/brothel when the road out front was a railroad. With the porch on my house, railroad stop kind of makes sense. At some point it was used to sell coffins, and then it was used for a time as a pharmacy. Sometime in the 1960s or 70s, it became a bank. This I know is the case, as the vault room is still there, although the door is long gone. With nearly 2 feet of concrete and steel all the way around, I now have the safest pantry in the county. Things have been reported since we moved in. My cousin's husband claims to have seen a woman in white in my living room. Don't know that I believe him, but I thought I would include it. My cats regularly stare at and have conversations with something in that room, so maybe she is there and is the OG crazy cat lady. I will say it is very unnerving to be watching a movie alone at nighttime, cat on the coffee table in front of you, and he is alternating between staring lovingly at the person who opens the cat food cans and then looking with interest over your head to someone behind you and starts meowing a greeting. I'm constantly telling him not to talk to dead people, but he is pretty, so he can't be smart, too. On the opposite side of the house in the dining room and kitchen is where I have most of the experiences. Late at night, if you sit at the dining table with your back to the kitchen and the light off in the kitchen but on in the dining room, you can hear two women arguing about something. You can't make out what they're saying, but they're definitely going at it. If you turn around to look, they stop immediately. Turn around to give them a few moments to get over your rudeness of staring, and they start again. These interactions make me laugh so hard. I tell my aunt all the time that I think I'm listening to our future. She doesn't hear them and thinks that I am imagining. I've stopped telling her when they argue. They don't cause any harm, and I find it entertaining and smile quietly to myself. Upstairs is something else. We'd been there a few years. It was a Saturday around 11 a.m. My aunt was gone for the day, and I was getting ready to hop into the shower to get ready to go to a baby shower that started at 2. Since I was home alone, the bathroom door was open. My black cat was sitting on the sink waiting to smell my hair. She's weird about hair and wants to love on my hair before I get in the shower and immediately when I get out, so this is her spot. Down the hall, my chonky calico is snoring in the doorway to my aunt's bedroom. No TV or radio was on. All windows and doors closed. That time of year when you don't have the heat or the AC running. Nothing was running. My black cat went from staring me in the eyes to looking over my right shoulder. I watched her pupils dilate and her fluff to triple her size. It almost looked like she deeply inhaled and held her breath. There was a breath in my right ear and then the loudest scream. It was one of those screams like from a horror movie, like where both sets of vocal cords are activated. There was a high and a low part to the voice. It screamed, "Help me." I know my cat saw and heard the thing. It also wasn't speaking just in my head, because before I could even react, the calico at the end of the hallway jumped out of a dead sleep, was on all fours and staring dead at me and open mouth panting. I was terrified, frozen. But I'm also a cat mom. I didn't have enough carriers to get everyone out of the house safely, and this was a no cat left behind situation. I took my shower. It was the shortest shower ever known to man, but I was clean. When I got out, another cat had taken up residence in the area. Three of my cats were lined up side by side, shoulder to shoulder, rumps touching the side of the shower and staring out into the hall, almost like they were guarding me. Nothing else happened. I went to the baby shower and came home, but I have a hard time being in that spot with the lights off. Very few people believed me. My aunt least of all. It was just sounds carrying up from the store. Maybe tires screeching or a tractor trailer applying the air brake. Okay, whatever. But how do you explain the breath in my ear? The clear diction of the voice. How could I hear every layer of it? The black cat reacting before the sound, or the breath, or the calico reacting out of her dead sleep. How all the kids took up a protective stance in front of Mama when she was vulnerable. I let it go. The thing was mostly quiet after that. Several years went by and there were no issues upstairs. The women continued to happily argue from time to time in the kitchen, and the visitor in the living room continued to interact with the cats. The new Ginger is just as pretty and just as stupid and loves freaking me out by talking to his friend. Earlier this year, I woke up in the middle of the night. I was hearing something, but didn't know what it was. I knew there were no TVs on since it's like 1 or 2 in the morning. We have neighbors that are really loud and like to sit up late and talk outside. I opened my bedroom window, but there was no sound from outside. It was definitely coming from inside the house. I opened my door and crossed the entrance to the stairs and over to my aunt's room. She sleeps with her door open. Her cats were staring at her, wondering what the heck was going on. She was sitting straight up in bed, which in itself is weird because she's waiting for 2 new knees and 2 new hips, and this position should really hurt. At first, I thought she was talking in her sleep, but it was just wrong. Her volume would change rapidly, going from whispers to almost screams. There were fragments of Bible verses, but again, it was almost like in sci-fi movies from the 80s. Robot or android takes a blow to its processing system or something, garbled and mostly tones, rapid fire. C-3PO backing out of the room when discovering the stormtroopers at Cloud City before getting blasted. Like a baby that has discovered it can make noises by humming and sticking their tongue in and out really fast before getting spit everywhere. And then the cries, like a horse screaming. All of those things jumbled together. I watched for a second, paralyzed by fear. I would have to go into the room, right next to her bed, to turn on her light. I had shouted at her and she wasn't waking up. I sucked it up, turned on the light, pushed her shoulder and backed the hell up. She looked at me and was like, "What is your problem? Why are you here?" I started bawling. I couldn't help it. I told her what had happened. She was convinced that I had sleepwalked and was dreaming. Nothing like that could have happened. Go back to bed. I didn't go back to sleep that night. The next morning, she didn't really seem to remember this. I asked her and she said she had a really weird dream. We were back at my parents' house and I was asleep in my room. She could see something dark floating over me. She said it wanted to get inside me. She said she started praying and quoting scripture in her dream, trying to make it leave me alone. That's not freaky at all. October 28th. Just got home from work and hanging up a call with my cousin from the drive home. Drop my stuff by the door, say hi to the cats, and promise to feed them in a moment and go use the restroom downstairs. While in the restroom, I hear someone upstairs running back and forth in the hallway between the bathroom and where the first thing happened in my aunt's room. These are wide, heavy, stomping footsteps, like boots. I calmly text my cousin, home alone, noises upstairs, getting my gun, call me in 10? And I do just that. I clear every room under and behind furniture, inside closets and under beds, upstairs and down. Nothing. The lights were still on when my aunt got home. I didn't explain because I knew she wouldn't believe or would say it was just the cats. We have 4 cats, 3 of which were at the bathroom door watching me take care of business. You don't close a door on a cat. The other's like a ghost, feral. You never see or hear her. When I did the check, I scared the crap out of the poor thing as she was asleep on one of the beds upstairs. It wasn't the cats. Last week, got home from work and went upstairs to start a load of laundry so I didn't have to go to work naked the next day. Turned left at the top of the stairs into the hallway to go to the laundry room. There are no lights on in the hallway. The window curtains are all drawn, so there's no light from the bathroom or the window behind me at the top of the stairs. Something is hovering in the darkness at the entrance to the bathroom. No features. Just denser dark is the only way to describe it. Normally, I can see the shower curtain from this spot, and I cannot see through this thing. I stared for a moment, and it disappeared, and I now could see into the bathroom. I'm determined at this point not to interact with this thing. So far, I've never spoken to it. I start the laundry and go back downstairs. I say nothing. The day before I contacted you, I got home from work. My aunt is already there. She broke some ribs in a recent fall and is off work for the week. She was home alone. While I'm prepping dinner, she is putting dishes away. She quietly says that something happened to her today. I stop. She says, still not looking at me, that while she was upstairs, a man's voice screamed at her. No words, just a wordless, primal scream of fury. In her current state, there was no way for her to go to the window to see if anything was happening outside, but she said it definitely came from inside the hallway in the direction of the bathroom. I just looked at her and grinned evilly and said, "Welp, at least it's screaming at you now and not me." I reminded her about the things that I'd already told her and filled her in about the stuff that I'd been keeping quiet about. It was her turn to not sleep that night. I slept like a baby because even though I'm terrified, I know now that I'm not going crazy. The following 2-part story is from Anonymous. Hey Candace, I really enjoy what you do. It's really made life on the road tolerable with these amazing stories paired with your wonderful narration. Here's my first ever attempt at writing one of my many life stories. Hope it's fun enough to make the show. Thanks. The Shenandoah Valley area of Virginia. Part 1. My best friend Danielle and I used to just hop in her car and ride around, listen to the Dead Kennedys, and talk about life as we were experiencing it in those days. We weren't yet of age to be in bars and clubs, so we'd either hang out at each other's houses or go for long rides. I had just finished playing a show with a band at a theater in Strasbourg, packed up, drove to Winchester, and dropped my stuff off at my house. By the time I got to my house, she'd been waiting for me. I got my equipment in the house, and then we took off. So, it was already pretty late. 1 a.m. maybe 1:30. Riding around all of Winchester, she decides to head south, down Route 11. We pass through Stevens City and almost get to Main Street in Middletown, but she decides to turn down a random road. It's really dark out. It was also warm outside, so we had the windows down in her little beater of a car. The more we're barreling down this road, the light from the moon is starting to be obstructed by a canopy of trees. So much so that it just seemed to swallow up the entire night sky. It's pitch black aside from the headlights, which almost seemed to just barely illuminate 10 feet in front of us. It was that dark. We proceed, but I remember being aware we hadn't said a thing to each other for a good while, and were usually filling every moment of those rides with conversation. It just seemed to grow darker and darker, and the more we go down the road, the more I start to smell the woods rotting. The smell of a rotting deer, only it's super noticeable. Going a little further, I'm starting to feel uneasy. It's pitch black, zero sky, limited visibility, and the woods are starting to smell like intense carrion. I break the silence and say, "Man, it smells like a rotting deer right in front of my face." My friend immediately says, "Dude, I've wanted to turn around for a while now." I said, "Flip the car around and let's go the hell back." These are back roads, true back roads. On both sides of this one-lane road, there's huge gravel ditches and thick woods. No signs, no lights, no buildings, and of course, not even the moonlight. She goes to turn the car around, but instead of compensating for the lack of room on each side of the road and not doing an exaggerated turn to the right before trying to turn it left and flip it around while staying on the asphalt, she decides to just turn hard left, right, exactly where we were. That made the car fly off the road and straight into the ditch. We didn't fly into the ditch so hard to do real damage to the car or anything, but her car was so small it seemed to have just fit perfectly enough that it basically wedged itself in there. Nose in the ditch, looking into the very ominous thick woods. On impact, the car's engine stopped. Every piece of its electronics went black. We opened the doors and got out. The open door alarms weren't going off. Nothing. Now it's completely pitch black and we can't see in front of us. We sort of freak out, but I try to keep my composure and try to come up with a logical reason as to why nothing is on. We both look down at our phones to see if we should call a friend, just in case. Without totally freaking out, we both see that it's exactly 3 a.m. And on top of that, we have zero cell service. I'm pretty level-headed usually. There's a rhyme and reason for everything, and I can figure this out. So I quickly shuffle my way over to the driver's side and try a bunch of combinations of random stuff. I had some car knowledge, but I felt myself going into a fight or flight mode. I'm flipping this, closing that, turning the ignition this way while hitting that thing and closing another thing. Nothing worked. I did everything, including trying to pick up the car in a slight panic. It was super small, and I'm a 6'1", 200-pound man who lifted heavy in those days. Of course, that was dumb and didn't work. The air was heavy on top of us, making us feel uneasy. I'm trying the random, weird combinations of bullshit, just trying to troubleshoot. Nothing's leaking, nothing's busted. Everything under the hood seems fine under the light from my phone. Both driver's side and passenger side doors are still open. I told my friend to get in the passenger seat and close her door. I got in the driver's seat and closed that door, and boom. Everything turned on. We both looked at each other, absolutely dumbfounded. I turned the ignition, slammed the car in drive, floored it up the embankment, then slammed it in reverse and floored it. We popped out of the ditch like something out of a cartoon, and then we got the fuck out of there. Going down the road, we talked about what had just happened, trying to find a reason in it, any sort of rational explanation. We got back to her mom's house, and before we called it a night, I conducted one last harebrained experiment. I shut the car off, opened the doors, turned the ignition so that only the electronics would work. They did. Turned the ignition to start the car, doors open, starts right up. Lights still on. Standard stuff, nothing off. I did the same thing while opening and closing the doors. Everything worked. We shook our heads, shrugged our shoulders, and went inside, thinking it was weird, but not giving it too much thought. Part 2. Some time goes by, maybe weeks, maybe a month. We find ourselves at her uncle's house for a family get-together. Her entire family treated me like one of their own, and her one uncle was especially cool to me because he loved the same music that I am into. We'd always talk about metal and our favorite subgenres, favorite bands, songs, etc. He was also a phenomenal singer. I played guitar, so we always connected on the actual technical sides of music. All that being said, her uncle used to be into some dark stuff when he was younger, like a practicing Satanist who'd spend time in cemeteries, trying to speak to or conjure up whatever he could via Ouija board. All those stories you hear of kids in the 70s, 80s, 90s listening to heavy metal being unfairly labeled Satan worshipers? Yeah, well, he was the real deal. Satanic panic incarnate. Anyway, this was all brought to my attention on this particular night. We're in his basement listening to Testament. Her uncles are drinking. We had some food or whatever. And out of nowhere, someone said something to the effect of, "Let's break out the Ouija board." I'd never messed with one at this point, so it seemed like a fun and harmless thing to do at the time. I've always been fascinated by the paranormal, occult, supernatural, extraterrestrial, and just out of the ordinary sides of our experience. I had never, at that point, sought out connecting with these things. Because of this night, I never will again. My friend's uncle places the board in front of us and gives us the basic instructions. Lightly touch the planchet, ask questions, blah, blah. It starts slow, but we realize that this thing is starting to move on its own. Just the sheer fact that this thing is moving, while both of us are swearing to each other that we're not moving it, is already freaking us out. We start to ask questions. Basic, boring, typical questions. Who are we speaking to? How old are you? How'd you die? All of which were actually answered. These responses were just as routine as our questions. Neatly wrapped and perfectly placed. A name, an age, a cause of death, a date of death. Super fascinating stuff if never followed up by her uncle saying from the side of the very bright and lively basement bar, "Ask if it's lying." All while doing an air guitar motion, jamming to tunes on the stereo. Confused as hell and completely unaware of the consequences, we just said, "All right, are you lying to us?" The planchet moves. "Yes." We're looking at each other, sort of dumbfounded and even more confused, but our stress level is visibly raised just by the looks on our faces. Her uncle from the bar speaks up once again. "Yeah, demons lie. Now ask it questions knowing that you're not speaking to a human spirit." "Fucking what? Demons? Okay, what the fuck you ask a demon?" Her uncle decided to come over to the board and touch the planchet himself. He knew his intervention would put the session in overdrive the minute he touched the board. We get the idea at some point to just ask about the night we got stuck in the ditch outside of Middletown. Unlike when we first started the session, the planchet is moving rapidly, with cause. It proceeds to spell creeping death. Wide-eyed and fucking terrified, we immediately wanted to stop. Her uncle instructed us to move the planchet to goodbye, and we were done. Looking back, especially being a huge fan of metal music and Metallica in particular, I can see how someone hearing this story could find it a bit corny. These things did not come to my mind while it was spelling this out on its own. Right then and there, I had an instant respect and fear for whatever might exist outside of the realm of our reality. I have a hard time believing in anything. I usually always resort to saying that I believe in me, my family, and my friends. However, I will never mock someone's faith. I will never deny that whatever they're experiencing or want to experience is real. I approach people's beliefs with respect and tolerance, and a large part of the reason why is because I witnessed something outside of what I could touch, taste, smell, etc. What was really happening as we traveled down that back road? Did we just make a bad calculation and put the car out of commission temporarily? Or was it actually a nefarious, supernatural plot? I always say to people when this topic comes up, all I know is that I don't know. I haven't got the slightest clue what's on the other side of our existence, but something showed itself to us. I won't make that mistake ever again. You never know what you're stirring up. Drive safe and don't mess with Ouija boards. They're not toys. Also, other than bands he might suggest you check out, don't listen to a friend's crazy, satanic, cemetery-dwelling uncle. Our final paranormal experience of the episode comes to us from Brody. I want to preface this by saying, I am a believer of the paranormal. However, I always try to debunk things until I'm left with no other logical explanations. That being said, I'm sensitive to the paranormal, but I choose to ignore it most of the time. When I have had experiences that can't be ignored, I never show fear and never let something think that it has control over me. I never discuss weird things until I have left the area I've experienced them in. I don't want to give whatever the attention. I also love Bigfoot stories and other cryptid stories, but I've never personally had an experience with a cryptid, so I've always remained skeptical until I do. All of this changed over the course of multiple weekends, the summer of 2023. Yes, this is very recent. My husband and I have a permanent site at a privately owned campground in the Appalachian Mountains. We keep our camper parked there year-round and spend most weekends there during the warmer months and go about one weekend a month in the colder months. Around the July 4th holiday, we'll spend the whole week there. This campground isn't like other campgrounds. It sits on over 200 acres on top of a mountain surrounded by woods. The views are absolutely stunning, seeing miles over the tops of the mountains. There are many miles of hiking trails, a pool, spa amenities, a bar slash restaurant. Okay, so it's not really camping. It's a camping resort. Glamping, if you will. Our campsite is on the side of a mountain ridge, overlooking the woods down the mountainside. Behind the camper is a gravel road that just continues down the hill toward other campsites. Just past that gravel road is the other mountainside with, you guessed it, more woods. At the end of our campsite, over the hill from our camper, our site borders one of the hiking trails. It's a great site with spectacular views. It's very common to have late-night parties at the campground, where, of course, alcohol is involved. However, I was completely sober during these experiences. One night, I woke up needing to use the bathroom. While I was relieving myself outside the camper, I heard what sounded like heavy footsteps behind the camper, then a tree limb snap like someone or something stepped on it. Oh no, it's a Bigfoot, I jokingly whispered to myself. Remembering the knocks I've heard from shows like Finding Bigfoot and other shows and podcasts, I decided to do something that probably wasn't very smart. I took my finger and made a loud pop noise with my mouth, trying to mimic the knocks I'd heard on TV before. I chuckled and went back into the camper and went back to sleep, waking up the next day to travel back home. The next weekend, I was walking down the gravel road toward our camper late at night. I started to feel really uneasy. The best way to describe this feeling is when a bad storm is coming in the summer and you can feel it in the air. However, it was a clear night and the full moon was visible in the sky. I chose to ignore the feeling and kept walking. Then I noticed the woods were eerily quiet. The normal nighttime noises of the woods that I love so much are silent. I started to feel validation for how I was feeling. Something wasn't right, and it's definitely not my imagination. I increased my pace to hurry to our campsite. I was almost there, feeling a little relieved. That was until I saw it. About 30 yards in front of me, a dark, human-shaped shadow crossed the gravel road in front of me. When I say dark, I mean dark. This thing was darker than the night around me. I heard the footsteps as it entered the woods. I hurried into our camper, trying to rationalize what I saw. There were no campsites where it crossed. The trailhead on one side that goes in front of our campsite and woods on both sides of the road. If it was a person, why would they be going into the woods at 3:30 a.m.? I laid down beside my husband, Seth, and fell asleep pretty quickly since it was so late. At about 5 a.m., I woke up needing to use the bathroom. I step outside the camper and begin to relieve myself. Midstream, I heard a tree limb snap, Without thinking, my head turned quickly toward the sound. There stood the same shadow figure I'd seen earlier. He was motionless, facing me on the hiking trail below our camper. "Show no fear," I thought to myself. I kept my eyes locked on the figure until I finished up. I hurried inside the camper, locking the door behind me. I lay there for a while, still trying to make sense of both encounters. I eventually fell asleep and woke up the next day with it still heavy on my mind. What is going on here? What secrets do these woods keep? On the drive home the next day, I decided to talk to Seth about it. "Have you had any weird feelings or things happen to you at camp?" I asked. Without missing a beat, Seth answered, "It's haunted as hell. There's a shadow figure I see all the time on the hiking trail at night." Shocked and feeling validated, I told him my experiences. He told me he's seen it while letting our dogs out at night, and they've noticed it too because they stare and sometimes growl at it. He too has seen it while using the bathroom outside at night, standing in the same area every time. "Okay, so I'm not crazy," I said. The next weekend, I stayed out really late at our friend's campsite. Seth had went back to the camper and turned in early. The three of us sat around the fire pit talking, telling stories from our past, sharing gossip and our plans for upcoming trips, etc. That familiar, uneasy feeling started creeping in. I tried to ignore it, but it kept growing. As I looked toward the woodline near their campsite, I saw the shadow figure moving between the trees. That's when the fear really tightened its grip on me. What is this thing? Why am I so afraid of it? I've never felt fear like this when I've ever had paranormal or strange encounters. But the bigger question is, why is it following me? I noticed my friends get quiet and they asked if I could hear that. As I listened, I could hear what sounded like muffled conversations coming from the woods. I tried to make out what they were saying for about a minute. Then we heard it. We heard a loud knock coming from the woods. There's definitely no animals in the woods capable of making that noise. The first thing out of my mouth was, "Oh my God, was that a fucking Bigfoot knock?" I've seen a lot of Bigfoot shows on TV and heard what they claim to be knocks from them. It was identical to what I've heard from the shows. There's no way that's what I'm hearing. We remained quiet and listened for several minutes. You could feel the atmosphere changing. That uneasy feeling changing to a flight or fight feeling. The feeling of being somewhere you're not supposed to be. The feeling of impending danger. Whispering, I said, "I think I need to head back to my camper." I stood up and began to leave when three more knocks echoed through the woods. This time, from a different part of the woods, but much closer. I sat back down trying to figure out what to do. Our campsite is a long walk away, surrounded by woods, and I don't feel safe. I told my friends, "I'm a little nervous with all the weird shit going on." I looked back toward the woods where I saw the shadow person earlier, and my stomach dropped. There's now two of them standing there. My friends decided they were going inside their camper. I could have joined them, but I really needed to get back to our site. So I knew I needed to head back. As I began my walk up the gravel road, I kept telling myself, "Don't give it attention and it will leave you alone." I started around the bend and I heard the muffled conversations again. Just ignore it. Now I can hear footsteps about 15 yards into the woods. I'm being followed. I picked up my pace to a jog. "Don't give it attention, just ignore it." They too picked up the pace. Whatever this is following me. What the fuck do? I kept thinking. I can hear the muffled conversations along with the footsteps. Now I'm hearing whistling. What the fuck is going on? This cannot be happening. I start to remember my rules of not letting things have power over me. If this is supernatural, I need to end this, and now. I stop and turn to the woods. This ends here right the fuck now, I shouted. You're not welcome here. You cannot follow me. You are not allowed to follow me. Leave me the fuck alone now, I continue to shout. I turned and could see our site is in view where I'm standing and began jogging again. I ran inside and shut and locked the door, trying to catch my breath. I woke up Seth during the commotion of me getting inside and told him what happened. He groggily said, "That's weird as fuck," and went back to sleep. It was really hard to sleep that night. I couldn't process everything that was going on. Why is it happening? Are they spirits? Bigfoots? What is going on? Most importantly, why will they not leave me alone? Then I remember the night I acknowledged the limb snapping in the woods. I acknowledged something that had to be supernatural or paranormal. I brought this on myself. I have to know what it is and make peace with it. I refuse to give up my piece of paradise. 2 weeks later, Seth and I were having dinner with a longtime member of the campground. I mentioned to him that I've had some weird things happen lately at the camp. He then tells me his experiences that were very similar to mine. He showed me a picture that had an apparition in it of a previous member who'd passed away from cancer on the grounds. Maybe this is who I'm seeing, I thought. I tell him about my misadventures from 2 nights prior, feeling relieved that I'm not the only one having weird stuff happen. He tells me that he feels the things are more or less curious about us and watches over the grounds. Of the 14 years he's been a member there, they've never done anything sinister. Later that night, I was sitting under the awning outside the camper with the dogs. I started to feel like I'm being watched. I looked down the trail in front of our camper, and there stood the shadow figure in the same spot we'd seen him before. I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone. You're not allowed to come any closer, I said out loud. Since then, they have left us alone. I still see them on that trail at least once every trip. I'm okay with that, as long as he's not bothering me. I've been trying to build up the courage to investigate the grounds, to find out what these things are and why they're there. Part of me thinks that's not a smart choice, but I guess we will find out. Some friends of ours stayed with us a couple weeks later. One of them told me he hears things down the trail at night and it creeps him out. One chimed up and said he swears he sees someone or something down that trail and pointed toward where the figure likes to stand. No, you didn't, I said. They gave me a quizzical look. If you see something, no, you didn't. If you hear something, no, you didn't. Don't acknowledge anything like that. Trust me. These are my new rules for the Appalachian Mountains. Okay, y'all. That's all for our listener stories. Now let's talk about it. For Mel's astral projection story, yeah, a skeptic could argue that it was a nightmare. But it's not the first time I've heard of someone seeing something really dark or scary through an astral projection experience. I guess if we imagine that in order for your spirit to leave your body, different realms, dimensions, whatever you want to call them, have to merge, right? Then who knows really what you may run into? It is unfortunate this happened on your first time venturing out, so your only experience was a bad one. Michelle and her haunted house is exactly that. Not just haunted with some residual energy, but haunted with anger and aggression. As she is, I'm also curious about the history of the home and what could have happened there. To have so much angry energy in one place, and even if it wasn't a big dramatic tragedy that took place there, I believe that buildings can hold memories and potentially could just house spirits from an explosive family dynamic, kind of an angry atmosphere. But I hope Michelle does manage to find peace in her home whether that's from sending these guys on their way or finding some other way to cope with things if they can't be dispatched. Anonymous and his creepy car electronics and Ouija board experience, this is the one that could be skeptically discussed. The electronics could have stopped working temporarily due to the bump the car took in the ditch, I guess. The Ouija board planchet could have been moved by them, but he does seem certain that they are not the ones moving it. So unless his girlfriend was a prankster, maybe they really did get in contact with something? Ouija boards are a tricky one for me, because I simultaneously believe that they can summon something unintended, and sometimes that entity can linger. But at the same time, I believe that most Ouija experiences, someone is moving the planchet, whether intentionally or not. Just like divining rods and pendulums, sometimes just slight normal body movements can still cause a physical motion that leads you to believe you're getting results. That's not to say I don't believe that something supernatural could be at play too. It's a fine line, and it's honestly a tricky one. So I do believe that Anonymous experienced something potentially paranormal with the Ouija. Overall, I wouldn't include a story in these submissions that I just straight up did not think could be paranormal. So please don't be offended if I debunk events a little. It's par for the course for the podcast. I don't just say this to you, Anonymous, but to everybody who sends me their stories. For the final story from Brody, this one is just so good. I love that his experience is seeing the shadow people or whatever those were, shadow Bigfoots, I don't know, was corroborated with so many other witnesses. Also, I have to laugh that when he asked his husband if he'd seen things, he had and just hadn't mentioned them, as well as just saying, that's weird as fuck, and then falling back asleep. Poor Brody's laying awake all night freaking out and his husband is asleep, just completely unbothered by the whole scenario. I do like the approach with laying out boundaries with these entities, and it does seem to have worked in this case. I'm so curious what these things are and why they're lingering in the area. Maybe his friend was right and there's some kind of protective spirit of the area. Either way, now that nothing's getting too close to the campsite, it sounds like it's a really awesome experience. Again, if you have any questions for the story writers or just general comments or chit chat, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Obscure Appalachia. A big thank you to my patrons for helping me do what I do. You can go to the website or shoot me an email as well. Those links are always in the show notes. If you haven't already left a review in your podcast provider, please do that for me. That would be amazing. I wish you and your loved ones a very happy winter holiday season. As always, thank you for listening. Until next time.